parcel of living in our world. We see it everywhere, don't we? We see it particularly, I think, in sickness. And we recognise that sickness is a very random thing. But so is most suffering. It hits the rich and it hits the very poor and everybody in between. It hits the very good and it hits the very bad. And again, everybody in between. Suffering's all around us. I know I see it so often. And you all see it so often. And it's a cause of great pain and heartache to us. Yet it is not that general suffering that Peter is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 when he says this. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful suffering, at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. You see, Peter is writing to people who are being persecuted. Persecuted by that huge Roman state that existed at that time. Persecuted by other groups. Simply because they were Christians. Fancy that, being persecuted. Simply because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that kind of suffering that Peter is talking about here. Talking the other day to Shan, you might remember Shan. Shan is our little Chinese mother. She's a nurse, so she's working this morning. She had little Timothy. Remember, we prayed for little Timothy because he couldn't sleep. Timothy is big Timothy now. Well, he's going quite big. And he's thriving and walking and everything. When I was talking to Shan, I was talking to her about her life, how she came to be in Australia, been here 10 years, how she became a Christian. And then she started to tell me about contacts she has in her homeland at the moment. People she knows reasonably well. And one of her friends is the wife of a man who used to run a Christian bookshop in China until the authorities decided to close him down after letting it run for some time. Then they put him in prison. They charged him. He's in prison for 2 years. His wife struggles, as you can understand, living by herself. She's got a little girl. Recently, a little girl was knocked over by a car. So she's struggling with that. And there are times when, for both of them, although their faith is strong, they themselves feel very weak. You can understand that, can't we? Yet, the guy's doing more work for the Lord in prison than he's ever did out of it at the moment, preaching the gospel. And she, though have many tears, she's still an example of the faith. Now that's the type of suffering that the people to whom Peter wrote were going through. That type of thing, and a lot worse. And it's to them that Peter now speaks. And he says to them, hey, don't be surprised at your suffering. Now, Peter's not someone who doesn't really care. Very interesting, actually, that we can sense the emotional connection that Peter had for these people in this particular verse. The NIV has it, as you notice, dear friends. In the Greek, it's just one word. And the word is this word, beloved. Beloved. Peter addresses them, and it's obvious that he's feeling from it this time. And he says to them, you are my beloved, my friends. But I need to tell you not to be surprised at the fiery ordeal, which is what that word means, that you are suffering simply because you are believers. Now, his words, of course, suggest that there were at least some of them who were surprised at what God was allowing them to go through. They had chosen to stop rebelling against God and to trust in the gospel with the expectation, no doubt, that life could only get better from there on. But it hadn't. It got worse. Now they were experiencing cultural isolation as people avoided them. They were experienced personal hostility. It wasn't just aimed at the group, it was aimed at them. They were getting it. And government oppression. It's not really what they expected when they became Christians. Not quite the Christian life they signed up for. And unfortunately, there are Christians today in our world, in Australia, who've been taught that God will keep them from all types of suffering. That if they have a lack for something material or whatever it may be, claim it and gain it. But that's not what Jesus taught, is it? You know, Jesus said a lot about suffering. I don't know if you realise that. Just a couple of verses. He said in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Pretty tough words, aren't they? And in John 15, 18 to 19, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Suffering is there in the books, in every book of the Bible. And Paul and the other New Testament writers confirm these thoughts with Paul informing Christians in Ephesus. Remember that? He says, "We are soldiers of the cross. We are soldiers of Christ, constantly on the battlefield for our Saviour and His kingdom." And he said there's a spiritual armour there. And we need all constantly to take it on day by day. Why? Ephesians 6:12, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So Peter says to these people and to us, rather than be surprised at what you suffer because you're a Christian, you should rejoice. "For even as Christ suffered to give you eternal life, you now have this privilege to suffer in some way for his kingdom. And in your ongoing battle against suffering, it's not pointless. It means something. The stand you are making for Jesus Christ, wherever that stand may be, is part of the great battle of the kingdom. And one day that battle will be won, and you will be seen as on the victory side, as triumphant with the kingdom of God." So that's why Peter says in verse 13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed," when the victory prayed happens. Now, all I've just said is not hard, is it, to see how Peter's tough words apply to those first century Christians who are being persecuted. We can see that. It's also easy to apply this teaching to people like the ones I spoke about earlier who are being persecuted for their faith, who are being made to suffer emotionally, physically, because they live in lands where Christianity is unacceptable. It's easy, isn't it, to apply that to them? Question I had, though. How can we apply this passage faithfully to us who sit here at Craigie Baptist Church today? To us for whom being persecuted physically is virtually unknown. So how do we apply this passage to us? What has God got to say to us through this passage? Well, the answer, I sense, relates to that spiritual battle that we are constantly involved in against the powers of darkness. It's a real thing. Don't you realise? But the devil and his demons are ever seeking to destroy the good witness to the kingdom of God that we are responsible for giving. If he can stop that witness going out, if he can stop you talking about your faith, if he can stop you living out your faith, if he can stop you doing what is right because you are a Christian, then the witness of the kingdom at that moment is destroyed. And that's his aim. He targets you. And the more you are alive for Christ, the more you are desirous to live for Christ, the harder he will work against your witness for him. And I believe that there are times when the devil attacks us through sickness, through circumstances, and through the words and the acts of those around us. If we are seeking to make a stand for Jesus, if we are seeking to stand up for what we believe, and if we are seeking to do what we believe is just and good and right in any area, then we should expect to be attacked, expect to suffer. So we shouldn't be surprised, should we? When life becomes more difficult because we are being known by others as a Christian in the workplace, in the school, sometimes in the group of friends, in the family. As long as we keep it hidden, we get away with it. Once we start to let people know where we stand, then sometimes it gets a little bit hairy, doesn't it? The attacks come. And when we start to talk about Jesus, when we start to talk to Jesus, about Jesus to others, and then when we get laughed at, or when we get patronized, or when we get shouted at, or even insulted, which is probably the worst thing, we shouldn't be surprised. For so they treated Jesus. I found it very interesting in this passage from 1 Peter, that when Peter wants to give an example, he's talking about the suffering they're going through. And when he wants to give an example of their suffering, what one does he highlight? Being insulted. Isn't that interesting? Not being put out of your home. Not being thrown to the lions. Being insulted because you bear the name of Jesus Christ openly. Why do I mention that one? I think that's so, so hard to bear. He says this in verses 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And I believe what he's saying there is that time when you are insulted, if you take it, there's something of God that glows out of you, and others will notice that. I think of William Wilberforce. We all know William Wilberforce, don't we? I hope we've all heard of him. But he was that guy who fought against the slave trade in the Parliament of England. He did it for many, many years. And at the same time, he also proclaimed Christ whenever he could. He was a lay preacher and other things. The attacks on his character through his life were horrible. Very, very vindictive. Right up until the day he died. It was only passed, if you remember, just before he died. He was called names that you wouldn't believe. Why? Because of the stand he took as a Christian. When we make a stand also for doing things which are doing things the way that are right and true. Have you ever been in a situation where you know what's right? If someone wants to do it the other way, what do you do? When we refuse to be manipulated by those people who are more interested in doing things for themselves than for anybody else, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when their reaction is heated, even irrational at times. Because you see, there's a bigger battle being fought in the heavenly places than we would ever see, or we'd be amazed if we knew what was happening. But in some small way, and I don't know how this works out, but in some small way, our perseverance, our willingness to stand, is adding to the final victory. I read a story of this professional baseball player, strong Christian. He chose to oppose the continuing threat of strike action by the Players Association. He did it because he had thought about it, he prayed about it a lot, and he felt or was very concerned about the impression of greed and of wrong priorities the players were giving to society and to its youth. And his judgment about those things was formed on the basis of his Christian faith. And if anybody asked him, he would explain why he was against it on the basis of what he believed, of what was good, what was right, what was just. With other players, they didn't see it that way. They were rather interested in the money. And therefore, they became extremely against him that season. They opposed him wherever they could. And especially, they disrespected him. Can you imagine what type of season that guy had that year on the field? Meeting these people all the time. He suffered, but he stood firm. So we shouldn't be surprised, says Peter. And we shouldn't be surprised either. If when we seek to live out our Christian lives, suffering comes. And neither should we seek to avoid that suffering. Unfortunately, that's a temptation. A temptation we all fall into. I think particularly as Western Christians, we probably fall into it a lot quicker than others do. Temptation to turn that blind eye to someone's behaviour, which you know is not according to God's will, God's way. And we know we will suffer if we speak out. You think of all the horrible things that have happened in this big institution that's called the church over the ages, because good people were silent. So easy to stay amongst the silent majority, isn't it? When the Lord calls us to stand and declare his truth. The temptation to avoid certain works or ministries for Jesus because we will suffer in it. Because even the inconvenience to our lifestyle, or because the personal cost is too high. One thing I see when I see this team going to China, each one of them paying their own way. But more than that, a lot of them are going to situations where there will be personal costs for them. They know that. But they're going because that's what it means, doesn't it? If you stand up for Jesus, if you live for Jesus, expect, don't be surprised if suffering comes. But surely, the temptation we fall into most is the temptation not to talk about Jesus. Because we fear being laughed at, we fear being insulted, we fear being humiliated. Peter calls us to expect such suffering, to welcome it with joy. For it proves that we are indeed serving our Lord, serving the Master. We are in His army. And we do so in the knowledge that the final battle does belong to the Lord, whatever seems to be the situation when we look at it. And we do so because we know that God will sustain us, that He will only allow us to be tempted to suffer to that extent we can, and then there will be the way of escape, that He will lift us up as a Father, and He will bring us to the point where we will have rest and peace. And He will keep us. And the words of Peter, which are found at the very end of this passage, are words for us this morning. Peter says, commit yourselves to your faithful Creator. In what you do, commit yourself to God. You're not on your own. You may be suffering, but you're not on your own. Your faithful Creator is with you, and He's looking after you, and He's watching over you. And do good, is what Peter says. For God will surely look after you. And He will glorify His kingdom through you. And the power of God will be expressed, even in the heavenly places, to the glory of Christ, our Lord and Saviour.